What does it mean to have faith? Is it something that we ourselves possess? Like I might say, I have a tennis racket, or I have blue eyes, or I have expertise in something like political science or chemistry. I also have faith. For a long time, since the Enlightenment, we've tended to think in this way, that faith is something that we have, a special kind of knowledge about particular, maybe unusual facts. Something that we have. And then we hear this reading from Hebrews today. Notice in this reading, what happens over and over is an emphasis on what Abraham does not have, does not know, does not have the ability to do. It's about not having. So listen again. Abraham went out not knowing where he was to go. Abraham sojourned in the promised land as if in a foreign country, dwelling in tents, not having. Abraham was past the normal age to father children, as good as dead, not being able. Not knowing, not having, not being able. And to let the drama of this situation sink in, we have to get a sense for how outwardly ridiculous Abraham's life really looks. When you suffer this kind of deprivation of knowing and having and being able, and then you set out to do the kind of things that Abraham's trying to do, your life looks kind of ridiculous. I mean, imagine people ask Abraham, "So, Abraham, where are you going?" "Well, I don't know. We'll find out." There he is, like a vagrant, on land that has been promised to him, but he doesn't have it. And so he has to wander in a tent. And then the most absurd thing of all, this old man is way past the age of fathering children, and he has this child delusion that he's going to be a father in his old age. And Sarah, a mother. There's an objective ridiculousness about the outward appearances of Abraham's life. Hebrews says that people who live by faith acknowledge themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. Strangers and aliens. There's something about their life that doesn't quite compute. Now, here's the trick. How easy it would have been to escape this state of deprivation, to escape ridicule. How easy it would have been. And the author of Hebrews says this. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had the opportunity to return there. Easy. Go back to the place that you came from, Abraham. Then you won't look so ridiculous. And stop all this talk about children. Just be a good foster father, spiritual father for some children, that's enough. One thing I like to do when I'm traveling in various airports around the country is to look at the books that are on offer. And it's always the case, I've been looking at this for 10, 15 years now, it's always the case that when you walk into those bookstores, the most prominent books when you first arrive are all these self-help books. How to get more knowledge, how to get more power and ability, how to have more things. America loves self-help, and we really do not like deprivation. How easy it is to flee from that state of not having. Here is the miracle, though. Here is the miracle. If I refuse to fill that space myself, if I accept this objective state of deprivation, it means that God can fill the space. And when God does something, He's not limited by my limitations. God brings the full infinite dimensions of heaven. That's the miracle. If I can leave the space open, God can fill it to superabundance. Such that Abraham can even not only be remarkably the father of one child, but the father of many nations to whom we also are going to be grafted on. Super, super abundance. That is what faith does. In that reading from Hebrews, there's a particular phrase that kind of echoes like a refrain. Abraham received, received, received. That is what faith is. Faith is a constant disposition of receptivity to whatever the good Lord wants to give me. And He wants to give me in superabundance. Constant, constant receptivity. There's an example from a little bit closer to our time in the life of Ignatius Loyola that illustrates this very well that I'd like to share with you. Shortly after his conversion in Spain, the profound desire of his heart was to go to Jerusalem. He wanted to go to the Holy Land. And, you know, in his great fervor, he talks to a lot of people as he's trying to prepare to go. And so many people want to join him. So many people want to be his companion along the way. But he has this realization one day that if he takes any companions with him, he will not leave that space open for God to be his companion on the pilgrimage. And so, kind of bizarrely, Ignatius says, "No, you can't come with me. I'm going on this pilgrimage with my one companion. The space has to be left open for God alone." And connected to this, every city he would go to, trying to gather up enough resources to get to the Holy Land, he would beg for donations. People would give him stuff. And when it was time to move on to the next city, he got rid of all the money he collected in that city. Crazy. How do you know people are going to give you anything in the next city? They may not be as generous in Barcelona as they are here. But he says, "No, I know that God is faithful, and He's going to provide for me there too. I have to leave my pockets empty so that the Lord can fill it." What does that look like in your life and my life? What is this going without, this not having, this not being able, which our first reaction is to so want to overcome, to fill, to overcome in our own way? What does it look like in your life and my life? I'll tell you here, in a moment, you and I are going to approach this altar, and we're going to receive from it something that for all the world looks like a regular piece of bread, and not even the most delicious bread that you've ever eaten. We're going to taste something that for all the world tastes like the most inexpensive wine. But faith tells us that in the place where there appears to be nothing, everything appears. Everything appears. And what do I have to do? I have to create space in my own life for that everything to enter into. This week, a report came out that only about a third of American Catholics actually realize that this bread and wine is the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. It's so hard to believe it and realize it. But if we can do that, the Lord fills our lives with everything that He wishes to give, which is Himself. Amen.